I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is June 21st, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's essay is entitled Vestigial Organs, Evolution's Leftovers or Evolutionists' Ignorance by Jeff Miller, Ph.D. He begins, if evolution were true, your great-great-great-great-grandfather was a creature like an ape or a monkey, and you came from him. Jeff, what do you mean, if? Evolution has been proven to be true beyond all reasonable doubt. Jeff, take special notice of the word reasonable. He wrote, over the years, your ancestors gradually changed or evolved from looking like an ape to looking like humans. Jeff, you omitted an important fact. Those ancient ape-like creatures differed from all other apes in that they possessed 23 pairs of chromosomes rather than 24. That's why we have 23 pairs of chromosomes instead of 24. Jeff continues, your ape-like distant grandfather, like many primates today, probably would have had a tail, a big jaw, and a lot of hair. Jeff, that's true, but they didn't have 24 pairs of chromosomes. Another interesting thing is that human fetuses also have a tail and lots of hair in the first month of development. The tail recedes to form the coccyx, while the hair disappears in most cases. But some humans do have tails, lots of hair, and big jaws, even today. Jeff, how could you not be aware of that, what with your PhD and all? Jeff wrote, he probably also had several other organs you either do not have today, or you have, but unlike him, you do not really need anymore. These organs, which you would no longer need, are called vestigial organs by evolutionists. If evolution is true, then such organs should exist. Jeff, then your argument is over. Thanks for playing. But Jeff continues. In 1895, an evolutionist named Robert Wiedersheim made a list of 86 different organs that he thought were vestigial. Organs that supported the idea that we evolved from ape-like creatures millions of years ago. Evolutionists were excited by this news since they believed it helped to prove evolution. Since then, evolutionists have argued that many parts of our bodies are no longer useful, but are remains of our evolutionary ancestors. Our hair, wisdom teeth, appendix, coccyx, tonsils, several genes known as junk DNA, and even goosebumps have been called leftovers of evolution. Jeff, vestigial organs are not necessarily useless. Some have simply evolved to perform different functions than they were originally used for. For example, the human appendix is no longer used to digest cellulose. In emus, wings are no longer used for flight. And in whales and snakes, pelvic bones are no longer used as attachments for legs. He wrote, as time has passed, Wiedersheim's list has gotten smaller and smaller. Why? Because scientists have studied more and more about the human body over the years and discovered that there are important functions for each of the organs on Wiedersheim's list. Jeff, what is the important function of the male nipple? I mean, other than as a place to stick nipple rings. Jeff wrote, the problem was never that there were not functions for those organs on the vestigial list. The problem was that scientists did not know enough to figure out what those functions were. Jeff, so how do you tell the difference between not knowing the function of an organ and an organ that serves no function? He wrote, in other words, the organs on the vestigial list are not evolution's leftovers, but rather, they highlight evolutionists' ignorance about those organs. Jeff, there's a reason why you refer to them as evolutionists instead of by their actual title of biologists. If you refer to all scientists by their real titles, it would soon become obvious to everyone that all fields of science disagree with your bizarre pseudoscientific beliefs. So you people dishonestly lump them all together under the title evolutionists to give the false impression that only a small little band of renegade scientists disagree with you, when in fact, they all do. Jeff continues, consider the parathyroid glands, which evolutionists long consider to be vestigial organs. These four little glands are usually found sticking to the thyroid in your lower neck, just above your collarbone. If they are functionless or not that important, then removing the parathyroid glands should not create a problem for humans, right? Jeff, transcription factors EYA1, SIX1, and GCM2 have been associated with the development of the parathyroid gland, and alterations in these genes alters parathyroid gland development. Scientists call those alterations evolution. Jeff, if attacking scientists from centuries ago who lack the knowledge of today's biologists is your best weapon against science, then you've already lost. To win, you need to defeat today's scientists and their knowledge, not scientists from the 19th century. But I have a bit of bad news for you, Jeff. All those scientists in the past whose theories have been discarded or disproven were defeated by other scientists using the scientific method. Never has one been defeated by a ghost worshiper using religious texts. So you've really got your work cut out for you, Jeff. He wrote, why do you suppose when I had my thyroid removed several months ago, my doctors were so concerned about my parathyroid glands? Jeff, there were probably many things they were concerned about, not the least of which was getting sued. Jeff wrote, they went out of their way to warn me that the glands might accidentally get cut off during my surgery. Jeff, how did they go out of their way? Did they miss meetings or reschedule other surgeries? Did they cancel other patients? If they warned you, why not just say so? Why describe it as out of their way? It sounds like you are trying to manipulate your readers. You wouldn't do that, would you, Jeff? Jeff wrote, why would they want to warn me about that possibility if it did not matter whether or not I had them? Jeff, why didn't you ask them? Any competent doctor will advise their patient of possible negative outcomes so that the patient can better make an informed decision. Hey, Jeff, why did you go to doctors anyway? Where does the Bible say that Jesus needs doctors? Why didn't you just pray? Didn't Jesus tell you that if you prayed, he would heal you? I believe he did. It doesn't sound like your faith in Scripture is all that strong, Jeff. He wrote, the reason is that doctors have discovered that the parathyroid glands are not vestigial. Jeff, it doesn't matter what doctors discovered. What matters is what biologists discovered. They are the ones who determine that those glands are vestigial, not doctors. Which, as I already pointed out, doesn't necessarily mean that those organs don't serve a function. Reread the definition, Jeff. He wrote, they are very important to humans. Without the parathyroid glands, your body would not be able to regulate its calcium levels within the very narrow range that it requires, and the nervous and muscular systems would not function properly. Jeff, remember earlier when you wrote that your doctors warned you that, quote, the glands might accidentally get cut off during my surgery, end quote. If your statement were true, that without those glands, the calcium levels could not be regulated, resulting in the nervous and muscular systems not functioning properly, then there is no doctor in America who would have taken that chance. But by your own words, they did remove your thyroid. So they must have told you that the risk was acceptable, because you agreed to have the surgery. Therefore, you are obviously hiding from your audience things that those doctors told you that you don't want your audience to hear. But the final coup de grace to your argument is that in the end, you had the surgery, Jeff. If you truly believed everything you've just written, there is no way you would have ever allowed that. Jeff wrote, people who believe in vestigial organs would be more likely not to worry about removing vestigial organs, since they do not believe they are important. This makes evolution a dangerous belief. Jeff, it is irrelevant whether or not the belief in evolution is dangerous. What is relevant is whether or not it is true. And apparently, you yourself weren't too worried about the possibility that your glands could be cut off during surgery, thereby rendering your nervous and muscular systems unable to function, since you agreed to allow them to remove your thyroid, as opposed to managing it with other therapies. He wrote, consider another way that belief in evolution, and specifically vestigial organs, is dangerous and even harmful to us. Jeff, if you want to consider dangerous beliefs, look no further than your own religion. History is littered with the proof that belief in a bloodthirsty death cult such as Christianity has been dangerous to humanity. Jeff continues, have you ever stopped to think about how doctors and scientists learned everything we know about the human body? It was through careful research and study of the body over many years. Usually the way research happens is that doctors or scientists ask others to give them money to pay for their research and study. Otherwise, they would not have a way to live while they are studying, and they would not have the money to pay for the equipment they need to study the body. Now, what do you think the effect would have been when Wiedersheim released his list of vestigial organs? Do you think as many doctors or scientists would have done research and study on those organs that were considered unimportant? Do you think they could have convinced as many people to give them money to support their study of those organs if they wanted to? Jeff, probably not. It makes more sense to concentrate limited resources on important organs. He wrote, perhaps you can see now how belief in vestigial organs is a dangerous idea. Jeff, as previously stated, that is irrelevant to whether or not vestigial organs exist. He said, less research and study will tend to be done on those organs since evolutionists do not believe them to be important. Jeff, I believe you've already made that clear. So what? He said, if those organs were designed by God, however, we can trust that they do, in fact, have important purposes in our bodies, even if we do not quite understand those purposes yet. Jeff, if the human body were designed by your imaginary friend, he is one piss-poor designer. Who would design the human body so that the windpipe and the feeding tube meet in a way that causes thousands of people to die every year from choking? That does prove one thing, however. If your invisible ghost does exist, then he must work for the government. Jeff, you are betting your entire argument on the desperate hope that someday science will discover a purpose for each of the vestigial organs in our bodies. If and when that day ever comes, then you will have only proven that all of our organs have evolved to assume new functions. Jeff, that really doesn't help you very much. And Jeff concludes by writing, instead of throwing out organs as useless, we should praise God, knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeff, to call the human body wonderfully made is to ignore its millions of defects. Jeff, only 4% of Americans are atheists. 40% of Americans accept evolution. That means that evolution believers are mostly non-atheists. In America, that means most evolution believers are Christians. These are Christians who have learned to accept scientific fact while at the same time retaining their faith. Then there are the morons. People like you, Jeff. People who are willing to suffer any degree of humiliation and embarrassment in defense of their imaginary friends. It isn't your ignorant beliefs that are the problem. They only deprive you of appreciating the incredible world around you and its rich history. The problem is that fundamentalists like yourself attempt to corrupt the education of our youth with your fairy tales. You people claim that this is a Christian nation, but even a nation that is 75% Christian is smart enough not to allow creationism in the science classroom. Intelligent design has been ruled in federal court to be nothing more than religious indoctrination masquerading as science. Your beliefs are not allowed to infect our youth in the public schools. But you do have the right to lie to them in your churches, which is exactly what you people do. Jeff, you represent one of the worst cancers to ever strike humanity, and the sooner it goes into remission, the better off humans will be. And now we move to the science segment. Today, the world's best thermometer is made from light. When scientists examine the temperature of an object, they find that it is always fluctuating. If you look closely enough, you'll find that all the atoms in any material are always jiggling about. But with this new thermometer, scientists actually see this unceasing fluctuation, showing that the microscopic world is always in motion. Researchers have produced the most sensitive thermometer, 3 times more precise than the best thermometers now in existence. They report that they have been able to measure temperature with a precision of 30 billionths of a degree. This is a new and very sensitive but unorthodox thermometer that uses light to measure temperature. The thermometer injects 2 colors of light, red and green, into a highly polished crystalline disc. The 2 colors travel at slightly different speeds in the crystal, depending on the temperature of the crystal. When researchers heat up the crystal, they find that the red light slows down by a tiny amount with respect to the green light. By forcing the light to circulate thousands of times around the edge of this crystalline disk, they can measure this minuscule difference in speed with great precision. Researchers point out that it is possible to make more sensitive measurements of temperature, but that occurs in cryogenic environments near absolute zero. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Sir Charles James Napier, born 1782, died 1853 at the age of 71. Napier was a general of the British Empire and the British Army's commander-in-chief in India, notable for conquering the Sindh province in what is now Pakistan. Here is the quote from Charles Napier. "You say that it is your custom to burn widows. Very well. We also have a custom. When men burn a woman alive, we tie a rope around their necks and we hang them. Build your funeral pyre. Beside it, my carpenters will build a gallows. You may follow your custom. And then we will follow ours."
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.